It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild? With me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps and also on the Hockey Podcast Network. I thank Dylan and Kyle once and always for having me on board this great network. And I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is once again a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. As we're going to talk a bit about kind of the aftermath of the Bill Guerin press conference, John Hines press conference, more so Bill Guerin, I guess. But yeah, at the end of the day, kind of feels like kind of sort of more of the same. Yet at the same time, there is going to be looking towards they are going to be looking towards youth as well. So we'll get to that in a moment. Of course, catching up with the postseason and some fan interaction. I'm expecting less today because I didn't put out a bat signal because I didn't really know when I was going to record. And yeah, obviously, like I said, rainy days and Sundays, that type of thing. So it's rainy days on like a Friday. So like doing it on a Friday instead of Thursday, that type of thing. I actually put out Timberwolves Explosion on Wednesday also to kind of jump ahead with that one to kind of keep the playoffs fresh. So if you're into the NBA playoffs right now in the Minnesota Timberwolves, yeah, they're doing really, really well, surprisingly, with the Phoenix Suns there. So I wanted to keep those two games fresh rather than record on the day of game three, you know, before it happens. That's kind of weird. Well, yeah, get the first two games out there fresh and then keep up, so on and so forth. So enough of that inside information, I guess you could call it, regarding what I do, I suppose. Well, let's just kind of jump right in. I guess the press conference and all of that, it's like, I can't tell you there was anything earth-shattering. It was interesting, kind of slightly, watching, when Bill Guerin, not watching, but listening to Bill Guerin and, respond to Judd Zolgad's questions, which were mostly about, like possible trades and such, and maybe certain players with the no-move clause willing to waive their no-move clause to be traded. And Bill Guerin kind of got that, it's like... It's not that easy to do because obviously just walking up to a player, hey, would you like to waive your no move clause so we can trade you to the, trade you to the Buffalo Sabres or something, you know, that type of deal. So he was basically kind of saying like, that's not really that easy to do. So I get it. I don't blame Judd Zolgad for asking that question. Certain players, it would be nice to see them getting moved out. Even like a Matt Zuccarello, obviously. He's a nice player, but he coasts at times, and I don't think him and Kirill are like an absolute necessity anymore. It's like, oh, they have to be together. It's like, no, they really don't. The other news is, or not news, the other good thing about it is, young guys basically, there is an open window for young guys to beat out the veterans, like a Marcus Johansson, guys like that, like a whoever. Jake Lucchini, he's a free agent at the end of the year. I can't believe I even brought up on the last episode about Lucchini and Shaw. At the end of the day, I'm not even that keen on bringing Mason Shaw back. If it's fourth line and all that, but did he really produce? Did Mason Shaw produce for the Minnesota Wild this year? Sort of, he kind of produced. Like, what? You know what I mean? I mean, we rip on guys like Tyson Jost and everything, and I know Tyson Jost is the kind of guy who was supposed to have some kind of scoring ability. But, you know, we also talked about Connor Dewar and Brennan Duhaime, how they didn't produce. Mason shot 20 games, one goal, two assists, 3 points. But he came back from ACL injuries. I know. But, I mean, that's not the point. The point is, well, production. You know? I mean, you still have to produce, though. That's the thing. So, it wouldn't kill me if they brought him back for like a year, maybe 2 years, that type of thing, with with no guarantees necessarily of like, yeah, you're going to be absolutely on the NHL roster, that type of thing. It wouldn't have to necessarily be a two-way contract, but small enough that it wouldn't necessarily like kill us, you know what I mean? Oh my God, send him down or whatever. And plus the fact you can't trust the fact he's going to, or you can't trust the fact that he has had an injury history, now that I'm getting my words correct here, if humanly possible. So it's conversations like that. Alex Goligoski, he's most likely played his last NHL game. And, well, like, why the hell not? Of course. Vinny Lettieri, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of the names brought up by Michael Russo, including, you know, obviously Lucchini, as the guys that, you know, probably shouldn't even be in the NHL. Even though, to be fair to Lettieri, I thought he had a pretty solid season. It's just at the same time, I mean, 9 points in 46 games. Yes, you're in a fourth line role, but at the same time, I mean, Lettieri is what he is. He's kind of like fifth liner. I don't know, but I mean, then again, no. I mean, he's another one. It really wouldn't kill me to bring him back. No, and I do believe he is back anyway, whether I like it or not. Like, he's back, but he could also be in the AHL. So that type of thing. Lettieri, yes, he is back. $775. So it's not like this massive commitment. Oh my God, Vinny Lettieri. Oh, blankety blank. Buy him out. Well, but enough about Marcus Johansson. Buy him out. That'd be nice. Though, of course, yeah, you'd be stuck paying him for, well, two more years at like $1 million per. It kind of splits, you know. Not paying, but, you pay him money with the buyout. But then the cap hit would be $1 million next year and $1 million the year after, so you'll save $1 million in cap space 1 year and lose $1 million in cap space the next year. When you look at it from that perspective, obviously I've talked ad nauseum. You're probably sick of me harping on it every couple minutes, but yeah, I mean, you know, Foligno, 4 more years for $4 million each. Sorry, I don't like it. I hate it. All right, that's all you need to know now that I've said it 50 times. Ryan Hartman, $4 million for 3 more years. He's productive. He's solid. He's a third liner. I don't know if he should be making $4 million a year. Good for him, I guess. You know, that kind of thing. I don't know if we should be committing that long either. So that's, again, that's pretty much all I need to say. Boldy at $7 million for, you know, 7 years. You know, the original Fiala demand or desire once upon a time. Yeah, I mean, sure. If he's a 60-point, 30-goal, 35-goal, 70-point kind of guy, cool. That's not going to kill me. Obviously, it's a good contract. It's a good player, and he's getting paid well. Kirill Kaprizov possibly could be looking at some insane amount of money going into the 25, 26, 27, 25, 26, 27, around there. Not million, but I mean, you know, those years, we could be looking at another raise from $9 million up to, you know, like higher, like 11, 12. So you have to put that in perspective. But luckily the cap is going up. So hallelujah for that. That's the good news. That was one thing we were always like hoping the cap would go up, and it just never did. But luckily it's starting to, because again, there's a lot more TV, you know, there's more money now with TV contracts and such. That's why the NBA's players get so much money. I don't necessarily agree with certain players making $50 million a year in the NBA, where, you know, when they're not, you know, literally, you know, getting their bones ground and, you know, ground up basically out there on the ice. You know, it's a little bit, you know, and, you know, like a $5 million player is considered like about what a, you know, maybe like a $25 million player in the NBA makes. So it's just kind of weird, or, you know, it's like a, when you compare the players. So that's another thing for perspective. Obviously, Joel Eriksson Ek may be the best deal in the NHL at $5.25. Oh, man. Going up to the year 2029, the summer of 29. And, yeah, he could be in a lot of ways a lot what Koivu never was. You know, and that's kind of a lot what he is, a lot what Koivu never was, a guy that could actually score 30 goals. Koivu was never that guy. Never. Absolutely never. I think he got to 70 points once, and he, you know, and knock on wood, he always got frickin' hurt. But obviously in hockey, things happen, so there's that. but, yeah, again, like the general thought process that always makes you feel better is the, you know, young guys possibly beating out the, you know, certain guys like the Marcus Johansons and such. You know, Marcus Johansson isn't making so much money that it's going to kill the team. It's just that, oh, you know, he's what he is. You know, he got his 35 points, and $2 million isn't that much. And 35 points, that's $2 million for a 35-point player. Yeah, well, then put him on the third or fourth line. Gee darn it. You know, and then hopefully and pray to God, Liam Ogren picks up where he left off. Well, you know what I mean, like continues the pace he's on, so to speak, going from a player who looks insanely promising, very fast and sizable player, not a small player, a sizable player that can get the job done on a second line out there on the left wing. And yeah, you might have something pretty damn good there in Liam Ogren. You might have a really nice top six in the next 2 years here, in the next year to 2 years with Ogren. And ultimately, yeah, like Ogren's already in North America. And my early prediction, Ogren will make the Minnesota Wild next year. Ogren's going to make the Minnesota Wild next year. Kind of like how Marco Rossi did this past year. Marco Rossi, since we get to say it correctly. I think both of them, well, obviously Rossi, duh, like second line center. Yeah, there's your top six there. You know, I think you might have something pretty damn good here in the next, you know, again, like by, you know, like a summer, like 2 summers from now, basically is what I'm trying to say. This is the first summer and then the next one, that type of deal. So obviously your main guys like Kirill, Boldy, Joel Eriksson centering them, of course. It's a wonderful top line. It's the best top line we've ever had. Like I can imagine a guy like Zuccarello, knock on wood, if this is sacrilegious, well, then too damn bad. Zuccarello and, you know, you might have a really sexy third line. You know, if you, well, not sexy, but a really good third line. Just imagine this third line. Maybe I'm talking stupid or whatever, but imagine a Ryan Hartman, a Matt Zuccarello, and a healthy, doggone it, if you can please do that, Marcus Foligno on the left. Well, there you go. Obviously, in Zuccarello and Foligno can both play on the right or left, but I would say Zuccarello on the right, Foligno on the left, generally speaking. With Ryan Hartman centering that group, that's not a bad third line. Top line, of course, like I already said, Joel Eriksson at Kirill and Boldy. Boldy right, Kirill left. Duh. They both can play left, but I mean, Boldy's been playing right with that group. Second line, Marco Rossi, Liam Ogren, and a potentially Danil Yurov. So there you go. Danil Yurov, and maybe it's interchangeable with Boldy or whoever. Not with Kirill, but maybe Yurov ultimately winds up on the top line and Boldy's on the second. But right now, Boldy's a top line player on the Wild. Yeah, he deserves to be there. It's not just saying it or just like, oh, he's this big, important draft pick. You got to put him there. You know, high expectations. He's making a lot of money, too. Damn it. Yeah, he is making a lot of money, and he was a pretty highly touted player. But he's good enough to be on the top line right now. So, the sacrilegious thought. And, you know, Zuccarello was put on the third line anyway at times, so it's not that sacrilegious at all. Your fourth line, ultimately, okay, if Mason Shaw is back, good for him. He is in arbitration. Well, he's arbitration eligible. Now that with Marat Husnadinov, obviously a fantastic... see, for now, Marat Husnadinov, fourth line center, maybe it could be on the third. At some point, him and Ryan Hartman may be interchangeable at some times, depending on who's playing better or whatever, you know, momentum. If Marat Husnadinov is playing better than Ryan Hartman, Marat Husnadinov should be on the third line. Hartman goes down to the four. $4 million for a fourth line player. Well, that's on you, brah. Okay, and I don't even use that word ever, but I'm just saying it. Oh, yeah, I forgot about old Freddy. Well, fourth line. Sorry. Fourth line. So you have to make decisions here. Yeah, obviously, there's a no-trade clause with Goodrow, but who's going to trade for him when he's, you know, he's here until the summer of 28. At least his contract is there until the summer of 28, and you buy that out, you'll be paying that halfway through the 30s. and the 30s, you know, the 2030s, not the, you know, that type of thing, or even longer. Yeah, you'll be paying that for almost a decade. Almost a decade, yeah. Yeah, halfway through the 30s, yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It'd be about $1.5 million. 1.5, I do believe. No. Not 1.5. It'd be 1.05. Yeah, 1.05 for 8 freaking years. 8 years. So obviously that's not going to happen, but he's 30 years old too. Gosh, gee, many Christmas. But again, that's on you for signing these people to this amount. And I never say bra, that just came out because it's like you think about the whole deal, which again, well, that's after talking about Yurov being on the team. So that's, for now, it's going to be somebody else, like freaking that guy. I don't want to think about him, but yeah, maybe Johansson. No. Or Zuccarello. Zuccarello instead of Johansson. And then Johansson plays on the third. Yeah, Johansson plays on the bleeping third line. I'm sorry. You're not going higher than the second anymore. So that's the way I look at that at the end of the day. So instead of Zuccarello, yeah, see, that'd be later. Zuccarello's even older when Daniil Yurov's on the Minnesota Wild. He's probably not going to be on the Wild next year. But I do believe Liam Ogren will be on the Minnesota Wild next year. That's my belief, that he will be in the NHL next year. I was thinking at the open of the season at one point that maybe he wouldn't start here. I think he will now. I think he's starting on the Wild next year. I think it's time. I think he's got the right mentality. He's got the right head on his shoulders. And, there's something there. There's more than something there. Liam Ogren is going to, I think Liam Ogren just might exceed expectations as a first-round pick. What do you think of that? So, like, you know, mid to late third-round pick there. I think he might. So, wouldn't that be cool? So we'll see what happens with that fourth line. Possibly Shaw with Merritt Kuznetsov and then Goodrow, I guess. So, I guess that's kind of how you're going to have to do it. And, you know, it's $2 million for Frederick. And maybe Marcus Johansson and Frederick can be interchangeable at times. Yes, Frederick. I know. Frederick Goodrow. It's a good name. It's a cool name. And he's a hard worker. You know, he's not lazy like Johansson. So, whatever. If Johansson gets scratched, so bleepin' be it. If Johansson gets scratched because somebody else like Adam Beckman deserves to be on the NHL roster, well, I'm sorry, dude. That's on you, too. So coming back to that guy if he doesn't play good enough. So, yes, that's the way to look at things at the end of the day. Top line, I've said it 5 times already. So instead of Yurov, but I mean, see, that would be like 2 years from now. Instead of Yurov, we'll have Zuccarello up there for now on the second line with Ogren and Marco Rossi. That could be, you know, okay. He could be that veteran for those guys. Help make them better. Help make Liam Ogren better, you know. Help make Marco Rossi better, which is humanly possible. Hartman and Kuznetsov, like I said, interchangeable at the third-line center position, and the other goes to fourth. And again, barring injuries that happen way too much in the hockey, because things happen, Foligno on the left, and or Johansson on the left, whichever, they're interchangeable as well. Johansson, God. yeah, I guess. That type of thing. And again, that might be another reason for have Kuznetsov up and move Hartman to the wing or something. You could do that as well. And just have Johansson on the fourth line with whichever, you know, that type of thing. So, fourth line right now is kind of like guys can, like, earn the position, make the team, that type of thing. You know, it sucks to think of Beckman on the fourth line, but he might end up being a good third liner. And playing some second line, he's going to have a hell of a time making the second line, I think. Because guys like Ogren, Yurov, you know what I mean? That type of thing. Boldy. So, if people make it, they make it. Otherwise, they could possibly be trade chips. Don't be surprised if the Wild acquire another defenseman of some kind. Of course, again, Declan Chrisom will be kept by all likelihood. They like him a lot. And I know I gave him a hard time before. Mermis, I think, is not going to be back. just because. I don't think he's coming back because someone might offer him a NHL contract. And if he comes back, okay, then, well, God bless him. He may have to be in the AHL. Otherwise, it's going to be what it is. Russo talked about Merrill's going to be the seventh defenseman. And, yes, Merrill should be the seventh defenseman, which means he's just going to play sometimes, once in a while. Oh, painful. Mario Lemieux just made the North Stars look like dog dookie. And then there was that famous, uppercut celebration. You know, when he made both North Star defensemen look like absolute, crap. Is it okay to say that? And that was what, game two? It was either game two or game four of the Cup Final. No, couldn't have game four. Couldn't have been game four. It was either two or five of the Cup Finals in 91. God, that was embarrassing. I mean, he just tore them apart. Like, made them look like idiots. Anyhow, every time I watch that, I almost cry. Like, it's so embarrassing. Okay, well, let's assume that the other guy who was out forever, that would be Jared Spurgeon, who's supposed to be the team captain. Remember? Yeah, he's supposed to be. Yeah, supposed to be. Well, he's not going to be a top defenseman. You're going to have Faber and Brodin. Faber and Brodin, top two defensemen. Or Middleton. But otherwise, you can have, I think Faber, Brodin, top two defensemen. Middleton and Spurgeon, second pair. Middleton, his contract expires next summer, unfortunately, but we'll see what happens there. And then Bogosian with Kristam, I guess. Or possibly, who knows, possibly Spurgeon all the way down to the third. But I think Kristam stays on the third for now, but will be on the number two power play instead of Jared Spurgeon. He's taking that role. If I'm the coach, Kristam has to at least be on the second power play unit. At least. I mean, come on. So, come on now. Let's be fair and honest about that. He has to be. So, he's obviously got more, I think he's capable of more, when it comes to the power play, especially, he's younger, spryer, that type of thing. Spurgeon signed until 2048. Yeah, I'm barely joking on that one. No, he signed until 27, so I guess it's not that far as it used to be. Yeah, but it's still three more years, quite a bit. It's Zach Parise money. Actually, he's making more. He's making more than Parise and Suter, at least cap hit-wise. Cap hit. They had a ton of money at the beginning. It was like the opposite type of effect. They made a ton of... the money they got in their pockets was a lot higher at the beginning and was down to like a million or so at the end. So, but then obviously we sort of kind of circumvented the cap, I guess, in our own way. Not really dishonestly, but to kind of fit things along by making it all even, all those 13 bleeping years, which was the most unnecessary thing ever, designing anybody for that long of a contract, unless it's Connor McDavid, or Connor Bedard, or Connor this, or Connor that. Or John Connor, he's going to save us from the Terminator, supposedly. No, but yeah, it was just to even things out. And then, of course, we all know what happened. Now the NHL said, screw you for doing that. We're going to punish you by adding this this clause to it or whatever, this punishment if they retire early. Ha, 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 we got you. It's pretty mean. But then we avoided that. Bill Guerin did by buying them out. Yeah, you've all heard that 50 times, and I apologize, but I'm going to say it anyway, I guess. Hentges was out for the whole damn season. It's too bad. Yep, Sam Hentges, of course. He was a seventh-round pick, though, out of St. Cloud State. Good player, though. Damn good player. We'll see what happens with old Sammy. Of course, Marc-Andre Fleury, extension for $1 million less. So that's good. Gustafson, it sounds like we're going to roll with those two for now. And then let's see what happens with Wallstedt and possibly look to trade Gustafson next year if things go the direction they may go. Or obviously, guys get hurt. They just do. Wallstedt's going to get more playing time than this year. He's going to get more time between the pipes, per se, this year than last. Gustafson might get traded before the season starts. That's obviously another possibility when you talk about the goaltenders at the end of the day. But yeah, I think Bogosian, Kristam, that's a solid group. You don't have to worry about Goligoski, Merrill anymore. And then Merrill's like, guys are hurt or not, or they're playing like crap, that kind of thing. That's what a seventh defenseman is. Like Damon, was it What was his name? Not Damon Hunt. Oh, yeah, Damon Hunt. Lord have mercy. Damon Hunt needs to be on the Wild next year. Damon Hunt needs to be on the Wild. Yeah, they got to figure out something. Oh, man. You know, now, yeah, Damon Hunt. You just heard me slap myself really hard thinking about that. Oh, man. Damon Hunt, yeah, see, that's the guy that should probably be full-time NHL next year. I mean, you know, not sitting as the seventh or eighth defenseman, you know, and playing like four games a month, or if that, you know, and not getting anywhere. Oh, man, this is tough. It's a tough situation, isn't it? Gosh, dang it. Well, I mean, Bogosian isn't necessarily like the king of defense. He's not the greatest defenseman in the history of the world either. He was very solid, very good. He was sizable. But, you know, and again, guys get hurt. So I hope Hunt gets at least half of an NHL season next year instead of like just a, you know, a couple cups of coffee and all that and maybe just sitting in the press box. And that's dumb. Like, you're not going to get better sitting in the press box. The press box is for guys like John Merrill. Yeah. The guy that you signed for 1 or 2 years too many. That's what the press box is for. That's what it's for. The guys you signed for 1 or 2 years who are, you know, NHL one way, and they're probably not good enough to really be NHL one way. Or you just grow some balls and send the guy to the AHL for, you know, Damon Hunt. Otherwise, it was the other Hunt that I was talking about earlier. I don't know why I'm blanking on him now, but yeah, he came from the Vegas Golden Knights, but so did John Merrill, actually, which is funny, and the Montreal Canadiens as well. But yeah, that guy was very popular, and he was an offensive player, but yeah, he was, you know, wasn't exactly, you know, an earth-shattering player on the Wild at the time either, at the end of the day. So yeah, I remember we traded him away. Why am I not seeing him? Sorry, I'm blanking here. Has he been gone that long? Jeez, I guess it's been years now, huh? Yeah, it was a long while ago. Oh, Brad Hunt. Okay, yeah. He was a nice player and a cool guy, but everybody loved him, apparently. Everywhere he went, he was the coolest guy ever. Yeah, that's right. He was on the Vegas team that went to the Cup Final but lost, you know, unfortunately. So, anyhow, yeah. Thinking about the name Hunt got me triggered here, Brad Hunt, and then I started talking about Damon, so apologize for that. So with that, that's kind of where we are. It's kind of like a miniature pre-State of the Wild. That's going to be an episode coming up in June that I do every year where we talk about the, you know, State of the Wild. We look at a lot of the same things, I guess, but obviously looking at, you know, we recap the season a bit. Hopefully I won't babble too much in that section, and also look towards the future with the draft and free agency and what direction the Wild should go and the future players. In a lot of ways, again, I kind of talked about that as well. So it looks like Bob Cole, legendary Canadian broadcaster, also died at age 90 because our legendary broadcaster here of the Minnesota North Stars, I'm segueing to that right here and right now, the legendary Al Shaver, the press box in Xcel Energy Center is named the Al Shaver Press Box. Yeah, and that's for darn good reason. He was the voice of the Minnesota North Stars throughout their entire tenure here in Minnesota, which was far too short. So 26 years, starting in 67, 68 in the Met Center and all that. They played in the Met Center the whole time as well. Blah, blah, blah. Couldn't get a new arena or couldn't get something. And Norm Green literally bought the North Stars to make a quick profit to either get a new arena, raise their value and sell them, or move them to a new, you know, to a newer arena with a larger market and sell them. That was Norm Green's goal from day one. That's why he was called Norm Greed, duh, along with all the other crap he did. Sorry, now I'm getting into Norm Greed, you know, who a lot of people would probably rather he was the one leaving the earth before Al Shaver, but well, I'll digress off of that. I'm not begging for anybody to do that necessarily. Al Shaver, whenever he was interviewed, even in his late 80s, he was like, his memory was insane. Sharp, very sharp. So impressive. I forget, he would be interviewed in like places like CCO or, CCO was the Wild's host for a long time, just like it was the North Stars host originally, which is pretty cool. That's where Al Shaver started, and then ultimately KSTP, which is like Channel 5, kind of, but on the radio. Yeah, pretty cool, man. And what a legendary voice. From any like, Bobby Smith scores! You know, I love that voice. and, you know, Madonna shoots, he scores, all that. It's just in an unbelievable voice, an unbelievable personality. Apparently even, you know, unfortunately I never got to meet him, but apparently even nicer guy than as great of an announcer he was an even nicer guy. And let me tell you, his son Wally is fantastic as well with the Gophers. I always thought he was going to be the voice of the Wild, but hey, you know what? They got somebody else who was right there, you know, with Al Shaver at the same time. Bob Kurtz, obviously great, great job, great career, and he's retired now, but he's still fantastic, very sharp. Bob Kurtz, awesome, very. And then Tom Reed is still like the main color commentator on the radio, which he was with, you know, he went back to Al Shaver, which is insanely impressive. And of course, he played with the North Stars as a defenseman, a very good one in the 70s. And I believe in the 60s as well, but in the 70s for sure, like Lou Nanny, outstanding. We've been absolutely blessed in the hockey world when it came to announcers and color commentators. Obviously, instead on TV, unfortunately, a lot of people might not be too thrilled with who's been the voice of the Wild on TV the last 10 years or so. I'll leave that where that is. It's probably not the time and place for me to nitpick on that. But you get the idea. I've said enough already. Al Shaver, see, it was kind of like, you know, how Kevin Harlan with the Timberwolves, you know, years ago was the radio voice of the Timberwolves, right? Obviously, he's still an outstanding national announcer on radio and TV with the NBA, right? With the Timberwolves, great voice, obviously, on the radio. But it's like he was so good that whenever it would be on network television, like, say, Channel 9, Channel 5, you know, where you don't need cable TV to watch it, whenever the games were on that, they would switch him to TV. And it was the same thing with Al Shaver, which was just the coolest thing ever. Al Shaver, I remember him so well as TV, but then you listen on the radio, it's like he's even better because the radio, they can say more. Kind of like me podcasting rather than doing YouTube videos. And then again, when people do YouTube videos and they're podcasting, they're just talking anyway. It's not like, you know, announcing and such. But that's interesting. We've seen two major, major legendary broadcasters pass away within pretty much days of each other. So Al Shaver again, and again I'll say Wally is absolutely incredible with the Gophers. I'm so happy he got to broadcast two national championships live. Wally Shaver. Now Al, of course, again, like we said, started from 67 all the way to 93 when the North Stars left. The terrible, depressing, sad call that he had to make at the very end. It just, you know, at the time, it was a tearjerker because it's like he was saying, you know, basically, we will always remember you as the Minnesota North Stars. It's, you know, pack up time and on to Dallas. And the last words, basically, of Al Shaver as the North Stars play-by-play voice on television, again, like he was on TV instead of radio at the time, he said, good night and goodbye. And however, there was that pause because it's like, yeah, it's not easy. Not easy to do. Al Shaver did not move with the Dallas Stars. The North Stars to Dallas did not do that. Had no desire to do so. Didn't really want to go to some hot climate, you know, warm climate where it's, you know, 100 degrees in the summer and all that and humid. Would rather stay in, you know, around this area or move up to Canada. Be broadcast to the Gophers for 3 years and was fantastic. I actually heard his very last game ever. With the Gophers. I still remember the Gophers were getting eliminated from the NCAA tournament. And he said, well, I waited till the end of this game to say this, but I'm retiring. I'm 68 years old, and it's time for me to move on with my life. It was something along those lines. But I still remember that's kind of how he said it. He's like, I'm retiring, just kind of like that. He waited till the last play of the game to say it. He's like, or the last few, you know, bits and pieces of that game, like when it was time to end the broadcast. So, interesting. Yep, he didn't want to make it about him at all. Just kind of literally waited till the end of the time that he'd be talking on air. The Gophers eliminated. I forget if it was a Frozen Four game, because I think it was 96. Yeah, the Gophers were pretty good in the mid-90s, but they didn't go to the... Yeah, but then by like 97, 98, that's when they started sucking and missing the tournament. And then, and then 99, like Wooger just said, I'm done. You know, that kind of thing. And then, Don LaShia took over. So, anyhow, Al Shaver, an amazing career. Obviously, amazing voice. Will be remembered forever. London, Ontario, age of 96. That's a long, healthy man. October 25th, 1927, in London, Ontario, Canada, of course. Died on April 22nd, 2024, at age 96, Vancouver Island, British Columbia. So basically where Dylan and Kyle are that do the Hockey Podcast Network. So basically around there. Occupation sportscaster. He had been active all the way back into 1948, but we remember him so well with the North Stars, per se. That was like his big break in a lot of ways. Of course, he announced before that, but it's kind of cool to think he was right about, he was 40 years old when the North Stars started, and when he started with the North Stars, and of course, he broadcast it at an even younger age, all the way back to 1948. They're saying he did some work in 2000 and 2001, and I don't remember that, unfortunately. I'm not sure what that was. I didn't hear a whole lot. He attended the Lorne Greene Academy of Radio Arts, cool, in Toronto, graduating in 1948. He was a play-by-play announcer for radio and television stations in Guelph, Ontario, CJOY, basically, Calgary, Alberta, cool, CJ, Medicine Hat, there you go, Alberta, CHAT, Edmonton, Alberta, CFRN, Montreal, Quebec, CKGM, Windsor, Ontario, CKWW, and Toronto, CKEY, basically, prior to becoming the North Stars broadcaster in 1967 on WCCO Radio, and later KSTP and WAYLAM. Interesting. Must have been a secondary deal. But, yeah. Shaver did not follow the North Stars when they moved to Dallas in 93. Opting to stay in the Twin Cities, he called the University of Minnesota hockey games for a few seasons. They say several. That would be only three. Then retired in 96. Yep, retired. His son Wally and grandson Jason are also sportscasters. Yep, I remember Jason way back around when in 93 they showed him on a... It was a broadcast. They showed all three of them. Jason was still young, but he did the... He shoots, he scores, you know. But then, yeah, Wally, they all did it three in a row. It was really cool. The press box, yeah, like we said, Xcel Energy Center, home of the Minnesota Wild, is named after Al Shaver. Shaver resided in Qualcomm Beach, British Columbia, and was married to Shirley until her death in 2019. Shaver died at his home in Vancouver Island on April 22nd, at the age of 96. So, yeah, he changed. He moved after his wife died because it was just... He was just too sad and depressed, I guess. That's what they say. So, 2019. So, yeah, definitely. Well, he'll be missed. He was freaking awesome. I mean, he was freaking awesome. I remember, see, what happened was I saw the podcast upload, you know, the Minnesota Wild podcast, talking about, it just showed Al Shaver. Like, it didn't say remembering Al Shaver. It just said Al Shaver's great calls. And I'm thinking, did he die or something? And then it's like, oh, he did. Oh, man. Yeah, I was like, Al Shaver, did he die? Or what's going on? Yeah, because obviously it's been quiet the last X amount of years. So apparently he just had kind of a minor illness. But when you're 96, it's just sometimes the people just pass away. You know, that's kind of what happened with Bud Grant. Was he 94, 95? He just kind of keeled over. He was a little bit sick, not feeling his best. He was getting ready for something. I can't remember what it was. He was just sitting on his bed and just keeled over. So, I don't know. That's what happened with Bud Grant. Sometimes, yeah, like just a minor sickness, and it's just, unfortunately, it's kind of time, I guess. So, that's basically the story with the legendary Al Shaver. Thank you, Al. And we were going to give Al Shaver a moment of silence. He shoots, he scores! Yep, thank you, Al. Yep, you're the greatest. Absolutely the greatest.
Back to Hartsburg. His shot goes wide to the right. Payne at the right edge tried to slip it in, but LaRocque blocked him off. The North Stars keeping it in. Bobby Smith tied up. Wrestles for the puck. Still along the board. Smith getting it. Coming in. Right in front. A backhand shot. He scores! Bobby Smith makes it 4-5.
Wasn't that fun? So, yeah, great memories. That was an old Bobby Smith goal in the early 80s. So, there you go. It was in the playoffs, too. So, like they were saying, Montreal, here we come. So, pretty cool indeed. The North Stars, Montreal, here we come again. I believe, yeah, that was way back, like a good 40 years plus ago But that's what you want. You want to hear the good old days way back at the end of the day. So with that, I think that's going to wrap up the first segment. We're going to come back for some playoff talk and then look into what you may have had to say on in the Fan Interaction segment. Back here on Brave the Wild, segment number 2. So we're going to look around the NHL postseason and all of that. But first, we're going to hear from our sponsor at the Hockey Podcast Network, DraftKings. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of the playoff beards all the way till hoisting the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. So upcoming games, we're going to go with the money line, of course. Rangers and Capitals. Well, Rangers, this is like game 3 in a lot of these cases. Game 3 or game 4. So the favorites will be on the road at this stage. So make note of that. Money line. New York Rangers are a minus 175. The hosting Capitals are a plus 145. That's 1 versus 8. Remember that. Vancouver at Nashville. Great series. Great series. You'll notice by the odds, things are pretty close here. Vancouver, on the road, of course, minus 105. Nashville Predators, minus 115. Winnipeg, at the hosting Colorado Avalanche, great series as well. Winnipeg, plus 142, and the hosting Avalanche, minus 170. Edmonton Oilers at LA Kings, the Gretzky Cup right there. Oilers at the Kings, of course. Edmonton, minus 142. The Kings, plus 120. Carolina Hurricanes and the Islanders. Carolina, minus 185. And the hosting New York Islanders, who are down 3-0. This is on Saturday, though. Plus 154. Florida Panthers, yep, the Florida Cup here, you could say. The Panthers are up 3-0. Yep. Florida Panthers, minus 125. The hosting Lightning, plus 105. Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leafs, they help classic original six here. The Bruins, minus 105, hosting Toronto Maple Leafs, minus 115 against Saturday. And this is the last Saturday game, so it's kind of going all the way across all the series. Dallas Stars and Vegas, how about them Golden Knights? Go ahead, Dallas Stars are on the road for game number three. The Stars, minus 102, the Golden Knights, minus 118. Golden Knights, yep, Saturday at 9:40. God, I love that. That's going to be an epic watch for a lot of us, I'm sure, for multiple reasons. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit West Virginia. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions. In terms and responsible gambling resources. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. Thank you, always, DraftKings. So now we're going to look around the National Hockey League, as we like to call it, hockey. Florida Panthers, man. Well, so a lot of people were picking the Tampa Bay Lightning, not me, though. Florida has a chance to win the entire enchilada, and we're going to open up with that series. Again, a 3-0 lead for the Florida Panthers. Very impressive, and I do think the Florida Panthers either complete the sweep or have a gentleman's sweep one way or another. It's been a tough go for the Tampa Bay Lightning. But then again, it's been a close. Most of the games have been close. It's ironic how the most quote-unquote lopsided game was actually in Tampa. So it's interesting when you think about that. Game 1, 3-2 Tampa, or Florida, pardon me. Game 2, 3-2 Florida in OT. And game 3, 5-3 in favor of the favored Florida Panthers. A lot of people, again, weren't favoring them, but let's not forget, they did win the Eastern Conference last year in very impressive fashion. And I got to think they're hungrier than ever, and there's a real chance the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup. Again, not telling you where to bet or anything, because I'm not supposed to, but just saying, Florida looks pretty special at the end of the day, and I think I still stand by my very much, though, as I entered the postseason, picking the Florida Panthers to win the Stanley Cup. Well, you think I'm going to change my pick at the moment? Nope. Boston Bruins. Boston Bruins, yeah, the A1 versus A2. That's the Atlantic Division, I do believe. The Atlantic? Yes, it is the Atlantic Division. This is all the same division. Boston Bruins, the 2. The Toronto Maple Leafs, the 3. You get the point. Boston Bruins up 2-1 in a fairly significant series. Pasternak had a great season, 110 points. Auston Matthew as well, 69 goals. Jeez, 69. 107 points on the season, but of course Toronto has been perennial playoff chokes despite their good records and talented teams and such. Boston 5-1 over Toronto in game 1. But then Toronto with a nice gritty 3-2 victory over Boston to take game 2 and claim home ice advantage, at least temporarily, until the Boston Bruins went into Toronto and reclaimed it with a 4-2 victory. I still think the Boston Bruins win that series, whether we like it or not. Right now, it's obviously possibly going up to 5 games, but probably, I think it's going to go 6 or 7 with the Bruins emerging victorious. New York Rangers versus the Washington Capitals. Pardon me. Capitals only 91 points, yet they're still almost 10 games above 500. Not that far ahead of the Minnesota Wild or other teams like that. They're the second wild card in the Eastern Conference. This is the Met division, of course. The Met. The Rangers, the President's Trophy winners, basically. Can't really say the word champion. Panarin, Artemi Panarin, had 120 points on the year with 69 goals and 71 assists. That's sick. Dylan Strome, the leading scorer for the Capitals. So the Wild actually have, well, we have Kaprizov. So, yeah, of course, there's somebody that's going to score more than somebody else's leading scorer. Whereas back in the day, it seemed like the Wild always had the weakest leading scorer. And last year we did because, well, one of them again because Kaprizov missed so much time. Rangers are, not surprisingly, up 2-0 and should win this series comfortably, but we'll see. It is shifting to Washington, and yeah, they won a Stanley Cup six years ago already when the Vegas Golden Knights first entered the league. The Rangers with a 4-1 win in Game 1, a 4-3 win in Game 2. Tonight, again, will be on TNT, on Tint, at 7 p.m. in Washington. So, looking forward to that, I guess. Not really. That's probably the weakest series of all in the postseason. Even though Florida's up 3-0, they've been good games. And it's a championship, you know, pedigree team with Tampa and a potential championship team with Florida. So, even though it's 3-0, it's a pretty nice matchup. Carolina Hurricanes and New York Rangers. This one's one of the weaker ones, unfortunately. And the Carolina Hurricanes do lead 3-0. Sebastian Aho with 36 goals and 53 assists, 89 points to lead the way. Matthew Barzal, the best player on the Islanders, 80 points, 23 goals, and 57 assists. He's been clutch in the past. And I've always liked the Islanders. I've pretty much always been a fan in a lot of ways. And I've kind of always liked the Carolina Hurricanes, and there's a soft spot there because they were the Hartford Whalers. So it's nice to see either one of these teams win this series. I'm not like a fan, but like a fan. You know what I mean? Like I'm a fan, like distant fan of both of the teams, you could say. The Islanders do have a lot of old Minnesota Wild players, especially for years in the past, but they had Letty, and they had Kyle Oposo, they had this guy, and they had that guy. But I believe Oposo's on the Florida Panthers now, isn't he? he's been definitely a journeyman. Not nearly as good as he thought he was going to be. Let's put it where he thought he was going to be. Carolina's up 3-0. A lot of people actually are picking them to win the Stanley Cup, and I did pick that at the beginning of the season. That doesn't look like a terrible pick. It really doesn't. It doesn't look like a terrible pick. They are up 3-0. If I said that 6 times already, I apologize. Carolina 3-1 in Game 1, 5-3 in Game 2. Again, this is Parisi's former team, and I'm sure he's glad that he's on the Avalanche, or then again, maybe not. We'll see. Carolina 3-2 win in Game 3 in New York, or, you know, the island or whatever the heck it is. But, yeah, New York Islanders, for me, are easier to root for than the Rangers. They just are. Maybe that one year it's like because maybe Islander fans were bullying Ranger fans. But I don't know. What's the point of doing that? Enjoy your four Stanley Cups. Why bully Ranger fans and bully the Rangers? Other than, I guess, that's just, you know, because they're such a close, you know, they're close proximity and all that, and they're in the same conference. I don't know. What's the point? What's the point? You know, the Rangers are a proud franchise, even if they hadn't won a lot of Stanley Cups in several years and all that. It took them like 50 years or something to win a cup. Or was it even longer than that when they finally got it in 94? I wasn't really a fan of the Rangers then, and I'm still kind of not, but I don't know. And then at the same time, though, there's a respect level with the Rangers. But the Islanders, I don't know. It's like a soft spot. I've kind of, I don't know. They just scream 80s to me, just like the Oilers in a lot of ways, even though the players and the makeup of the Oilers don't feel like the 80s at all. But it's just still, you look at the logo, and I'm glad that they have stuck with the, or they've gone back to the original look, and I'm going way off track here, but Islanders and Oilers, it's just, you know, and Calgary Flames seems like that. They just scream 80s to me. Good old days. 80s, early 90s. Okay, Central Division, our division, yay. Dallas Stars versus the Vegas Golden Knights, who ended up being stuck at the second wild card because of the last minute changes, you know, when the Kings actually won their game, and Vegas got beat by Anaheim. Like, what are you doing? Vegas is clearly a better team than the LA Kings. And then they got this tough matchup with the Dallas Stars. Huh, great. That's it. It's a doggone it. Well, I guess Dallas is going to win. Hold the phone. Vegas is up 2-0. Yep, and they are the Stanley Cup champions. And they're magically healthy at the right place in the right time and all that stuff. Or right time and right place. Imagine that. They are magically healthy. Yes, they are. It's just kind of funny when you think about all that. And they're up 2-0, winning both games in Dallas. Oh, man, it's unbelievable. I'm very actually happy for it. Unfortunately, I know a lot of you don't like the Vegas Golden Knights because how dare they be good right out of the gate. I understand, and you probably really hate the way they screw around with it. They kind of work the system with the salary cap during the season with guys being hurt and then magically coming back. I know. Well, then change the rules, I guess. You know, they're going to have to. Unfortunately, it seems like the NHL doesn't seem to want to. Consensus pick the Stars, huh? You might want to change that, buddy, whoever you are. Vegas only needs to win two out of the next five games, right? They only need to win two out of the next five games to clinch the series. Now, I don't think they want to go to Game 7 in Dallas because I think the momentum would be favoring the Stars heavily at that point. But awesome start to the series, obviously, by the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, a clutch, close win in Game 1, 4-3, but then a more decisive victory in Game 2. Great goaltending by Logan Thompson, so it's like a new hero this time around. The first Stanley Cup final run was with Marc-Andre Fleury, who, you know, as he was notorious for, ran out of gas late, unfortunately. And it's a shame. He was notorious for that kind of thing, would run out of gas. So once they got to the finals, I don't know if he uses up too much energy or what his story is, or just teams figure out things, I guess. Just a bummer. And I, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury's our goalie, and I appreciate him and all that, but yeah, and he's a legend and all that. But, yeah, I mean, he was notorious for that. That's just a fact. Penguins fans will tell you that, you know. So, Logan Thompson, and you still have Aiden Hill to potentially bring the Golden Knights all the way back to the Cup Final again. And I think it's possible. If the Golden Knights get past the Dallas Stars, I don't know. I mean, there's a real chance they go to the Stanley Cup Final. There is. Doesn't mean they will, but there is a chance. There's a legitimate chance because you just beat the Stars. I mean, that's impressive. And I have a feeling the Golden Knights are going to beat the Dallas Stars. And again, obviously, these predictions got flip-flopped. I thought the Stars would win comfortably over the Kings four or five games. And I also thought the Golden Knights would upset the Edmonton Oilers. Instead, it looks like the Golden Knights are going to possibly upset the Dallas Stars, and Edmonton will win comfortably over the Kings. But we'll get back to that in a moment. I am picking Vegas to win the series, though, now in six. Vegas Golden Knights will win it in six. They might not even need that. You never know, because they're at home now. And we'll see how this turns out. Saturday night, Vegas. 10:30, well, Eastern time. It's actually, you know, 9:30. But don't be surprised that ESPN would put Eastern time. Eastern Sports Network, yeah. Okay, so We'll keep moving. Winnipeg Jets and Colorado Avalanche. A lot of people saw this as an epic series, myself included. Consensus pick is the Avs, huh? Well, it's 1-1. Avs, where am I going here? Winnipeg in a 7-6, like, barn burner, which is, that's really high scoring in a hockey game. And, I don't know, isn't Winnipeg a team that keeps teams down? So Colorado is going to win this series, yes. Yes, because of they're scoring goals on Winnipeg. They've been a team that's shut teams down. Colorado has 11 goals in two games. The Avalanche win the series. It's just, they're going to win, yes. Avalanche will win this in six. Winnipeg will squeeze out one more and maybe game five. I think the Avs take this. They'll take a 3-1 lead and then clinch in game six after not winning game five. Winnipeg stays alive. Ha-ha, stays alive. But the Avalanche in six over the Jets. And then they'll play the Golden Knights in an epic second round. It could be good. At least I think they play the Golden Knights, depending on how things match up. Because, yep, teams kind of flip-flopped here with Nashville from our division going to Pacific. In Pacific Division, Vegas going to the Pacific Division. Vegas is going to Dallas, but maybe they'll play Vancouver next, actually. I think so. I don't know. No, it should be Edmonton or L.A. So Vegas will play the, I don't know, because I don't think Nashville's going to win this series, even though it's a good one. Vancouver versus Nashville, great series. Okay, let's go to the leading scorers of the teams here quick, just really fast. The Stars, second to New York for the President's Trophy, only by a point. But the President's Trophy has been a curse historically. Jason Robertson, 80 points on the year. 29 goals, that seems low for him, doesn't it? Marchessault, though, 69 points with 42 goals. Jonathan Marchessault led the Vegas Golden Knights in scoring during the course of the season. New York Jets, Mark Scheifele, with 72 points, 25 goals, 47 assists, and Nathan MacKinnon with 140 points. Jeez. Hello, Mario Lemieux. 51 goals and 89 assists. Holy schmucks. That's absolutely nuts. I don't know which one's more impressive, 51 goals or 89 assists. Maybe the 89 assists. But the 51 goals, that's not impressive. So Nathan MacKinnon is, yeah, he's up there. He's a Hart Trophy kind of guy, and jiminy Christmas. So back to Vancouver and Nashville. Apologize for that. Vancouver, great season, 109 points. So they choke in the first round, like they did, or second round of the Wild, but to the Kings many years ago as well. Remember that, best team in the league by far that year. Predators with only 99 points. So, but still, only. I mean, back in the day, that was considered really good. You could win a Stanley Cup with 99 points back in the day. So, when it was, 16 teams making the playoffs with 21 teams in the league? Yeah, you just have to beat the Sharks and the Senators a couple times. You know, that's the people that always say, or not even them, it'd be like Toronto when they were crappy, because the Sharks and Senators didn't even exist yet. JT Miller with 103 points. Woo! Great season for him. I don't remember him ever getting that high. 37 goals, 66 assists. Philip Forsberg with 94, also really high there. 48 goals. Woo! And 46 assists. The consensus pick is the Canucks, and I agree. I think the Canucks will finish this thing out, but it's gonna be a long series. I think it might go seven. This thing might go seven. There's a really good shot about that, and I think it probably will. Brunette will give the Canucks a hard time. You might want Brunette against the Avalanche, right? No, the legendary goal, but obviously that's extremely old news, but it was so much fun. Vancouver 4-2 win over Nashville. Nashville 4-1 win over Vancouver in Game 2. That's actually insanely impressive. But, I think this series goes 7 with the Canucks edging out the Nashville Predators, you know, in a very close game. Game 7 might even go to OT or something. Oilers and Kings. This is the Gretzky Cup, I guess. Connor McDavid with only 32 goals, but 100 assists. 100. That's Gretzky level right there. Sick stuff. Oilers with 104 points. Obviously, an awful start to the season, and then an absolutely epic run in like the, you know, third quarter or so of the year. And then they slowed down a little bit in the fourth quarter or so of the season. Epic, epic run, though. Like, they were stick for the longest time, if that's an okay word to use. The Kings somehow got to the third seed in the division because the Golden Knights couldn't beat the stupid Anaheim Ducks, and then the Kings were playing a pathetic Chicago team that couldn't stop a puck if their life depended on it. So that's kind of the way it goes. You know, they couldn't stop a puck if their life depended on it. Oilers also with the Kings with 99 points, just like Nashville. It's not like they're bad. They're good, but I don't see them doing anything. Though they did win one of the games already, so it is 1-1. I will stick with the Edmonton Oilers in this series. Edmonton scored 7 goals in game 1, 7-4, but then LA gets 5 and wins an OT because Edmonton's not that good at stopping the puck either. Once in a while, their goaltender will be sharp, but then the next day he's not. So I don't know. And I don't know. The Oilers are kind of a mess. As good as they are, they can be a mess. But just looking at that gorgeous uniform, oh, I mean, does that not scream 1980s to you? And in a positive way. If you like and appreciate the 80s, you love those uniforms. So classic. Yep, the Kings should have the old purplish ones, like the old purple ones, not the early 2000s ones. Those were not my favorite. They really weren't. But this series, yeah, I'm going to stick with the Edmonton Oilers. This may also go to 7 games, which is annoying for the Oilers, which could doom them in the second round, which could help get a possible Vancouver, if Vegas somehow pulls off something crazy, a possible Vancouver and Vegas conference final. Otherwise, Colorado and Vancouver is a real chance, because I don't know. I don't really trust the Oilers to get to the conference final. I think they'll get to the second round, but conference final, I don't know. Oilers in 6 again. Yep, let's go with that at the end of the day. So I do stand with my Florida pick to win the cup, but who will they play in the final? Who will they play in the cup final? Maybe the Colorado Avalanche. It'd be kind of like a rematch of that 96 series. You better get the job done this time, Florida, please. I would hate to see Colorado win again. Like, seriously, as good as they are, that's a real possibility. Otherwise, maybe it's a rematch of last year's cup final. Wouldn't that be nuts? Where Vegas goes on the miracle run that nobody expected. Even though it's, you know, yeah, Vegas goes on a miracle run, whatever, but then Florida finishes them off. I think I'm picking that. I think I'm picking Vegas to go all the way to the conference Stanley Cup final, but Florida wins this time at the end of the day. So that's where I'm standing by at the moment. With that said, we'll take a quick break and come back for fan interaction. Back here on segment number 3, fan interaction segment. This will be truncated because I didn't put out a bat signal. Looks like there's some responses, and I'll kind of read what people have to say, that type of thing. That's cool. It's mostly, I think, responses to what other posts, though. That's the thing. So maybe I won't get too much into that. We're going to go with tradition here, though. And I keep failing to freaking put out a freaking poll, which is really annoying. But Derek has been pretty good about it. Derek Velska of the Crease and Assist Podcast, or Crease Assist Podcast. Again, highly recommended. Great show last week. That was awesome, and I'm still looking forward to the next one up and coming, I'm sure. He says, way too early prediction of where you think the Minnesota Wild finish next season, especially if the roster stays pretty much as is. So predictions, Stanley Cup Finals. Beyond first round, make the playoffs. Fail to make the playoffs. Oh, boy. Failed to make the playoffs. I picked it. Yep, there I go, Mr. Negative. But, well, I don't know. Prove it to me, I guess. And even if they make it, yay. You know what I mean? Even if they make it, yay. So right now, it's got 1 day left on the poll. Make the playoffs is first place, which I guess sounds about right. 48%. Failed to make the playoffs second, 36%. Beyond the first round, 12%. And Stanley Cup Finals, 4%. Picked Stanley Cup Finals, huh? Really? Stanley Cup Finals? Well, that'd be because of, like, what the North Stars did in 81. A lot of young guys just say, you know what? You know, let's go. Let's go, baby. And that's pretty much what happened. You know, guys, like, remember the episode I did 4 years ago? Slightly less than 4 years ago. Was it, like, May 2020? Because there was nothing going on. But I think I saw something about the 81 North Stars and did some of my own personal research, looking around and who was on the team and all that. And you had like 21-year-old after 20-year-old after 19-year-old on that team and a couple of veterans. But Bobby Smith was still super young, because we're talking 81 here, folks. Neil Broughton was just getting in the NHL just cutting his teeth in the NHL, as they call it. Dino Cicerelli was brand new, and he was a hero. The goaltender, was he like 18, 19 years old? That's incredible. That was Don Beaupré, you know, guys like that. Then he had some veterans on the team that were, you know, that was the one thing that lacked against, say, like the Islanders. So that was probably why they had no chance against the New York Islanders. There really wasn't any, like, veteran leadership, but the youth was so talented, it took the team to the final. Then they had a much better record the next year, determined and hungry, and they got beat by the Blackhawks in the first they got beat by Chicago in the first round, which luckily 10 years later, the North Stars would make up for that by knocking out a, you know, President's Trophy Blackhawks team in the first round. That was impressive. So, what am I looking at here? Not too much. Okay, so I was posting saying, how about them Golden Knights, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was awesome. They might actually beat the Stars. Derek says, there's no actual lightning round in this one, I don't think. No, because again, he probably didn't know I was even going to do a show. Because I never hinted at it or anything. It's kind of spur of the moment and all that. And I don't know, time constraints and such as well. Anyhow, he says, I can't root for them. However, I can root for Dallas to lose. It will demolish half of my bracket. Yeah, me too. I have them in the finals also. It'll demolish my bracket, but seeing Dallas lose like this is sweet for some reason. Maybe it's Captain Quick Trip's presence on the team. Plus, if Vegas wins, I hope they stop the LTIR shenanigans. Yes, I hope they stop as well. It's not the best, yeah. Long-term injured reserve, yeah, it is definitely, you know, it's, yeah, they got to do something about that, I think. And, yeah, it's not the best. I was still very happy to see the Golden, you know, I am rooting for the Golden Knights over the Stars, and I don't know, I've kind of liked Vegas since they got in the league. It was just exciting to see Vegas having a professional franchise of some sorts and cool logo, cool name, and cool players. I'm a fan. I'm sorry. You know, I hope that doesn't kill my, kill me as a Brave the Wild host here. But I've been around forever, so hopefully that counts for something for somebody out there. Yes, yeah, I do think, I mean, I don't like the shenanigans either, but I don't know what, for Dallas, it's deeper than Captain Quick Trip, and that would be, of course, Ryan Suter, you know, Wisconsin and Quick Trip, and, you know, the negative influence he was in this team for as long as you can imagine, that he, you know, pretty much just about day one, yeah, pretty bad, very negative influence on the team, much more than we ever could have imagined. But it's not just that. I mean, the Stars have made mincemeat of the Wild, and it's annoying to watch, and, you know, it's annoying, you know, and to think, I mean, the last time before, was it like 2 years ago, I think it was, that the Wild finally won a game in Dallas, Texas? The previous time the Wild had won a game in Dallas was before September 11th, the real September 11th in 2001. That is some bleep. It is. It was in the second season in the Wild existence, or was it? No, the first season in Wild existence. We won two games against Dallas that year. We killed them in the first game because it was like a screw you, Norm Green, we're here now kind of vibe. 6-0 win, a very historic win for the Wild, even though it was the first season, but still, it was cool. First time we ever got to play the former North Stars in a game. I guess we won a second game that year in Dallas. We won the first one here at the X. And then it took like 20 plus years to win another one, which is freaking atrocious. Next. Okay, so he's basically kind of continuing from the last tweet about the Vegas Golden Knights LTIR shenanigans, meaning league owners finally decide to close this loophole in the next CBA. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Vegas and Tampa will try to use it again. Yeah, it's crazy because they both got cups. You're doing it. Isn't that sad? I'm going to guess we will see Mark Stone suffer a gallbladder injury in February of next year, only to have a miraculous recovery just in time. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I remember when I saw him skating on Vegas last year, I'm like, oh, they might do something this year. And it's like, yeah, they did. They did do something. But I like the actual team and the players, but yeah, I don't like the shenanigans. No, that's not good. I don't think that's fair to other teams out there. It really isn't. That was kind of lame. A miraculous recovery. Yep, that's true. It does reek of something. It's all just a coincidence, though, Derek. Come on. Come on. It's just a coincidence. It's okay. Why are you so negative, man? No, I'm kidding. I don't think there's any... Oh, here we go. MN Johan did a hashtag BTWMN. Cool. He says, I'm optimistic about next year's team still having one arm tied behind our back with the last year of the big buyout, our big payout, pardon me, in the Parisian Suter buyout. The tease with Kuznetsov and Ogren gives me hope. Me too. A potential trade of Gus will add talent or cap room. Yeah, that's good thoughts. Yep, I mean, it's... Yep. I did put out of the playoffs. I probably should. I think they could make it, for sure. Kuznetsov, yep, hopefully he takes a nice step forward. He was relatively underwhelming at times, but again, he's a bottom six player with a lot of speed and good defense. He's that kind of guy. He's a penalty kill, you know, type of guy who can win faceoffs, which will help you win, which will help you stop penalties, yes. And Ogren, I think, is a power play type of guy, and he looks like he might be a special player, and I hope so. Hope so. Sounds absolutely great. And, yep, great thoughts, MN Johan. Absolutely great. Awesome. Awesome to hear from you, by the way. Yeah, there are reasons to be optimistic. Even Judd Zolgad is optimistic. Steve Snyder says he's cautiously optimistic as well. Yep. These weren't hashtag BTWMN. They're mostly responding to the poll. So I don't want to, like, yeah, because, yeah, these are mostly to be read on Crease Podcast, I'm sure. But when Johan hashtag BTWMN, I appreciate that. So he wanted to make sure it gets on this show. Thank you, MN Johan. So, yep. I'm sure, yep. So it can kind of be on both shows that way. I just realized that there's actually more, not too much more. I made a mistake. I didn't actually do the hashtag, which is pretty dumb of me. So there's a couple more, nothing, not too many, but appreciate what you guys put. Very much so, guys and gals, I do believe. What was I saying? Let's see, I'm going to keep going. Saying something like, yep, of course, I ended up being wrong about the Golden Knights going to end up being playing the Stars. Derek says, that matchup doesn't bother me at all. I don't want to see either team advance. Jody Halverson says, I hope they beat the living bleep out of each other for 7 games. So, yep, I feel you, I suppose, but... A lot of people don't like the Golden Knights, do they? I understand. And I was saying, how about them Blackhawks? Wow, nice comeback in the third period. The Kings are shell-shocked. Derek Felska says, I can't say that ever. And, yep, I understand. I was just hoping that the Blackhawks would beat the Kings just because of the seeding. I don't know, but whatever. I guess it doesn't matter. If Vegas beats Dallas, that's pretty impressive. Because the Kings weren't going to beat Dallas. So look at it, the positive there, I suppose. I guess. Maybe you just don't care, right? Yep, the Al Shaver, voice of the North Stars. This is Michael Russo. Al Shaver, voice of the North Stars for 26 years and the Gophers for 3, passed away after a brief illness Monday on Vancouver Island at the age of 96, his son Wally tells me. Al was married to his wonderful wife Shirley for 67 years until she died in 2019. They had 5 children, Wally, Jim, Gary, Judy, and Stu. 9 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. For the past 19 years, it's been an honor for me to call the Al Shaver Press Box at Xcel Energy Center home. My best to Al's family and many, many friends. Absolutely. So, yep, there's no way I'm going to go through this episode without getting Derek's response here. I mean, I almost did, and I'm like, oh boy, that would have been bad. Derek says, perhaps my earliest memory of anything hockey-related was, he shoots, he scores! Yep, I mean, exactly. That was his signature call, always with energy and a snap that never failed to get you excited. His passion for the game and those of his son, Wally, and grandson, Jason, are second to none. Yep, agree, absolutely. Absolutely. Why am I liking my own tweet? Sorry. Absolutely, yeah. I was saying Al was absolutely iconic. Nobody was better. I'll never forget the good night and goodbye. That sticks in my head forever. Unfortunately, such a terrible circumstance. Yeah. Oh, and I love Wally. I remember, was it this past year he had a gem? Was it like an overtime goal against Michigan State, I believe? Where he said, well, that really sucks. Yeah, it was like with a couple seconds. Or no, it wasn't. Yeah, I think it was overtime, or was it right before overtime, where Michigan scored with like a second left in the game, and he, well, that really sucks. I just was like, wow, that was awesome. Oh, how do you not like Wally also? Like, Wally's awesome. I think I got everything now. I almost blew it. Boy, I almost blew it. So I apologize to any of you that were like, what the heck, you know? You didn't read it? No. Well, I did now, and I apologize. Nope. Thank you for that. So, yeah, that was good fan interaction for sure. You know, a truncated version of it because, again, kind of constraints, and I didn't know I was going to record, and I could put out the bad signal, and like 5-6 days later, okay, here I am finally, you know, or 10 days later, who knows. But, yeah, the lawn service, I don't know, this. There have been constraints there, too, which is annoying. So it'd be nice to actually get something done. But now it rains on Friday. That figures. Hopefully not tomorrow. But, yeah, Brave the Wild on Friday. I think I did it on Friday a few times back in the day. Pre-Parisi Suter, like way back in the day. Yes, Brave the Wild goes before Parisi and Suter to 2008. So back then, there was no really specific day. It would be like Wednesday, Wild Wednesday. That sounds cool. Tuesdays, Fridays. Then I did Saturday morning for a long time, which it's like I grew to hate that. Like, why do I keep doing this? I can't do anything on Saturday morning. And it's like, that's dumb. So when I did it on Thanksgiving, which became a tradition ever since, it's like, why not just stay on Thursdays? That's way better. And then I get my, leave Timberwolves on Friday, which is where it's been forever. And, keep Brave the Wild on Thursdays. So this is the first Friday Brave the Wild, and I don't know, maybe I've done it off and on at times, but very rarely. Usually off-season type of deal, or weird schedule changes, maybe doctor's appointments, or someone else's doctor appointment, that type of thing, or God knows what else. But thank you again so much for listening. Sorry if I'm rambling on and on about personal stuff, but just want to thank you for listening, and I don't know, I'm looking forward to this postseason. It's been a lot of fun so far for the most part. You're going to get lopsided matchups in the first round, oftentimes like Capitals and Rangers and Islanders and Carolina Hurricanes. You know, those are not the best, but it happens, and sometimes you get those in the conference finals. Like Edmonton got, what, annihilated by Colorado a couple of years back, if you remember correctly. So that was kind of lame. It was just like a no-show by Edmonton. It was weird. And Colorado was pretty good, too, that year. They won the cup for a reason, and they just might do it this year, too. Though, I hope not. With that said, I'm going to give some quick shout-outs, obviously. MNW Young Guns, or MNW Prospects, great, great job, guys. Great job, obviously, X and Facebook and all that, X, Twitter, whatever. Pavel Bennett, Justin Bakke. Justin Bakke is a part of the Sound the Foghorn podcast. Minnesota Wild Global, Scott Cavendish, and a lot of other great, great members on that page, like Kathy Main, David Abraham, Chance, David and Chance Kostick, Chad Walski. Yeah, you guys are great. Michael Feck as well. Minnesota Wild Nation, Patrick Turner as well, coming in out of Florida. Great job there as well, and I'm sure he's enjoying the Florida Panthers run, and I am too. I got a good feeling about the Florida Panthers, Patrick, in case you're listening. So, very, very good feeling about them. With that said, I'm just going to want to wish you a good week or two or whatever it is. Well, I'll try to keep up with the playoffs here on Brave the Wild and keep things coming, God willing. Rainy days and Sundays. This is a rainy day, so I was kind of gearing up for it. Like, it's a rainy day Friday, and I could probably squeeze into Brave the Wild, and yes, I did. With that said, again, take care and have yourself a wonderful, 7 to 10 days or so approximately.